This last week, many of you know we lost one of our members who's been here for a long time, Mary Beth Lanigan. You know, struggled with MS, had a lot of health issues, and the Lord graciously took her home. And her husband, Dean, shared with me that when she was at hospice and when he went into her room right after she had passed away, the I Surrender All song was playing on her CD, and thought, how appropriate. And we know where we're going. And when I stood by her side in the hospital a few days before, she could barely mouth some words, and she just said, I want to go home. And the Lord just put his arms around her and took her home. And her legs were paralyzed. She'd battled so much. And now she's leaping and dancing and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. And we know that's where we're all headed. We're talking about crossing the finish line. We don't know necessarily when that will be. And it could be when Jesus returns. I wouldn't be surprised if many of us are alive to see his coming again. But at some point, we know we will cross that final finish line. And we want to finish well. So as we've talked this whole session on finishing, on fixing our eyes on Jesus and running the race that God has marked out for each of us, we want to finish well. So we'll look at that this morning. Before we do, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you that we do not run this race on our own. We thank you that you are with us. You are within us. You enable us. You lead us. You sustain us. Lord, we praise you. We praise you for being our faithful God. And Lord, it's our heart to finish well. And we thank you that you say that you give us everything we need in you. So we commit this time to you this morning and ask that your Spirit lead us through it and meet each of us in our particular races where we are today. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we have many different finish lines in life. Our 10-year-old granddaughter, Kellen, here in town, just finished one. She got her braces off a few weeks ago. And for those of you who've worn braces, you know that can be an ordeal, a year of that tightening and the pain and the discomfort and getting food stuck and you can't eat certain things and all kinds of things. But she had her sights set on having that beautiful smile. And before she had braces, she wouldn't smile. She was so self-conscious about her teeth. She got her braces off a few weeks ago, and now this big smile all the time, beautiful. Finished, and it was worth it. She forgot about all the discomfort and the pain in the process because of the joy of having that nice smile. And women who are pregnant, if we remember that, or we have grandchildren who are, we know the 9 months of difficulty, morning sickness and discomfort and struggles and sleepless nights and all of that. But when that baby is born and it's in our arms, it's all forgotten, and it's worth it all. You know, Jackie Imes' daughter, Christine, she had a terrible pregnancy. And, oh, it was grueling and one of the most difficult that I've heard of. She's pregnant again, you know, and still having trouble, but it's worth it. And we know that for life. We know where we're headed. And it will be worth it. Life can be hard and challenging and difficult. But we keep our eyes fixed on where we're going. It's about more than just these struggles that we have here. And Paul in 2 Corinthians said, you know, these light and momentary afflictions, they don't feel like it at the time, but in the perspective of eternity, they are temporary. And they're preparing us for an eternal weight of glory. There's such good things to come. Jesus is our example in that, isn't he? That it says this, the passage that we've used for this whole session in Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those who've gone before us, they are around us. I believe they are praying for us. They're not sitting there playing harps. Maybe some are, you know, if they want to. But they're alive. And they see from God's perspective. They know his purposes. They are part of the church. And they are praying for us, cheering for us, rooting for us to finish well. Each journey, the preliminary ones and the final one. Therefore, since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. The races can be hard. There is opposition, and it's increasing in our world today to believers. But keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that for the joy set before him, which wasn't just, being with his Father again, which that was certainly part of it, but it was us. He went to the cross for us, that we would have a relationship. That's the joy set before him that motivated him to endure what he endured, to do it hell for us, to pay the penalty. And it was worth it for him to have that relationship with you and with me. And so we keep our eyes fixed on that joy that awaits us in his presence. And it's worth it. And we need to want to be determined to finish well. I don't know if any of you saw that NASCAR race this weekend on Sunday afternoon. Our son happened to be watching it there and relaxing. And all of a sudden, I was in the other room and I heard him yell, "Oh!" And there was this horrible accident. The two that were vying for first place, and it was even on the news this morning, I saw a clip on it. But it was one car, Carl Edwards' car, was hit and flipped way up in the air and through the fence and rolled over and over and landed totally smashed, and there was fire under it and all around it. And he jumped out of the car and ran across the finish line. And the crowds are up on their feet. They were cheering. And, you know, he was determined to cross the finish line. Nothing was going to deter him. Nothing was going to stop him. And that's what we want to do. Be determined to cross that finish line well. Nothing's going to interfere. Nothing's going to stop us. And in life, there are many things that want to derail us and distract us and get us off track or give up. In many ways, life is like what the Israelites went through on their way to the promised land. They were called out of bondage, delivered from that by God. And they were set on this course, God's promise to bring them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, good things. And he said he would provide for him through the desert, and it was a long journey. And there were many things, snakes and scorpions and hunger and many things that discouraged him, and some wanted to turn back. But we see God's promises, and we know what he did, his faithfulness, exactly what he said he would do. And he says to the Israelites, do not be afraid. And he says that to us. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you. There's a battle going on in this world. We've looked at some of that. Spiritual warfare. Things that we don't see are real. And there's a battle. He will fight for us, as he did for you in Egypt and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way until you reach this place. And he said, the Lord your God went ahead of you on your journey to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. Step by step, leading us, guiding us. And then over in Deuteronomy 8, he says, now, you know, you may enter and possess the land that the God promised you. He brought them to that point. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years, and feeding you and caring for you, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat, that in the end it might go well with you. This is what he does for us. And he tells us in Luke 10, he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Nothing will harm you. It's Jesus' authority and power over the enemy that we battle in this life. And he says, don't be afraid. I am with you, and I've given you power to defeat them. There are many things that we battle in life, and he says, I am with you. I will help you. He feeds us with the manna of his word, of himself. He brings us living water out of the rock of Jesus Christ. He cares for us, and he carries us. We are not alone. So we rest in that. When the going gets tough, we cast ourselves on him. He is the faithful, living God. I know it's amazing. You know, a few weeks ago, I was totally worn out and thought, Lord, I'm just done. I'm weary. I can't do this. And fell asleep, just crying out to him, Lord, help me. And in the morning, I woke, refreshed, strengthened, and it wasn't that I'd had a good sleep. And I felt energized. I had joy and peace. And I thought, Lord, this is miraculous. You heard me. He does. He hears our cry. He helps us. He is real. He is in us. He knows what we are experiencing. He cares. He carries us. When we can't make it, we cast ourselves on him, and we can count on him. He's the faithful God. He is true. He's covenanted to care for us and to be with us and not forsake us. So count on it. Live like it. Say that to myself, and we see it. It's exciting. It's true. So there are more things going on. This life is about more than meets the eye. And it's easy sometimes to forget that, because we can focus so easily on the things that are seen, our circumstances, the challenges. Sometimes we forget. There's purpose in life. We're headed to a goal. Life's about more than this. My sister, whom I've shared a lot about in this study, she came down for pursuing more of Jesus. And I don't remember if I mentioned this to you or not, but she was impacted that weekend. And she said that she says, you know, realistically, although her tests are all fine at this point, thankfully, but she says, realistically, all the battles with cancer she's had, I don't know how much time I have left, but I want my life to count. I want it to be significant. I don't want to get to the end and think, there was nothing. My life was about nothing of importance. So she returned home and more determined than ever to grow in the Lord. Every day she's spending time now with Him, nurturing that relationship. She's asking Him, what do you have for me to do? She's volunteered with an equine therapy group up there and with special needs kids, and she's doing that, and she's so excited. We have choices as we go through life. Are we going to live for those things that are seen? They're appealing. The kingdom of God coexists with the kingdom of this world. But Jesus says, I called you out of that into the kingdom of light. When Jesus came, He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. We are living in the kingdom of God now. It's not just to come. He calls us to participate in that kingdom, and that's of eternal value. All this will fade. All this we see is temporary. There are choices that we make, every day, every season, but what our lives are going to be about, even moment by moment. How am I going to spend this free time? Am I going to waste it? And sure, He calls us sometimes to just relax and enjoy it and have fun. But am I going to spend it that is significant too? Is He calling me to that for this time? To spend time in prayer? That impacts, makes differences in lives and circumstances. The enemy would like to sidetrack us. You know, turn on the television. But look what we miss. Look what the kingdom of God misses. So the choices we make, are we living like we're people with purpose? That we're a part of God's kingdom? There are many temptations that we face to get sidetracked. One of those is the temptation to live for the things that are seen. You know, the material things. And God many times blesses us with that. And He wants us to enjoy those. But the issue is, where is our heart? Is that what our life is about? Accumulating these things? That will pass away. I remember one time a few years ago, I was driving down Cascade, and I might have shared this at some point, but it struck me. As I passed Swan Law Funeral Home, they must have been remodeling or something, renovating, and all the furniture was out on the front lawn. And I thought, I wish I had my camera. All this stuff on the front lawn of the funeral home, and said, somebody tried to take it with them. It didn't work. You know, and sadly, I've shared the story about my father. You know, in many ways a dear man, but in many ways he had a lot of problems and struggles, and his life was about things. That was what was important to him, his whole life. And when he died clutching his watch. We had to pry his fingers My sister, they're sitting a few days before he died in hospice. My dad had this chessboard that he had made, inlaid wood. It was beautiful. And my sister's husband loves to play chess. So she asked my father, can he have the chessboard? It was back at his town home. He's in hospice, a few days to live. No. It's mine. Sad. One Christmas, he sent a picture there when he moved out here from Hot Springs Village in Arkansas. He knew this man back there who led a large Bible study. And so he would keep in touch with him. And he sent a Christmas card, and he sent a picture of his new car to him. And John Cleghorn, the man, wrote him back and said, you know, it's the first time it's the first time I've ever had somebody send me a picture of their car. You know, I thought, you know, but how telling. And at one point, Svetlana from Russia, a woman who was involved with our kids when they were over there, she came over to visit, and I took her to visit my dad. And he pulled out his envelope of treasured photos. And in there were all the cars he's owned, the airplane, the buildings that he had, the homes, all of the things that he had. And around his townhome, there were all the pictures of his businesses and all of that. No pictures of family. No picture of my mom or any of us, his grandkids, but his stuff. So Svetlana, he pulls out this envelope and he's showing her all these things. And very perceptively, she said when he was through, she said, well, I'm sure you're very proud of your children too. Yeah. Oh yeah. And on to more of his treasures. Tragic. Tragic. The choices that he made. Now I know he loved the Lord at some level, and I know he's with the Lord, and I will see him someday, and he'll be whole and well. But my sense is, the angel, everybody was not rejoicing when he entered heaven. My guess is, I don't know, that he didn't hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want my life to end like that. We have choices, and all that we see is appealing. And like I said, many times they're blessings from God. But it's important that they don't have our heart. Jesus says, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. The weekend before last, we had a real contemporary example of someone who's living for more than what is seen. With Miss California in the Miss America competition. She was runner-up, and many thought she would have won. But the way she answered one question, they felt, removed her from getting the title of Miss America. And many of you probably have seen the clips of her, or maybe an interview. Outstanding woman, Carrie Prejean. And I happened to notice when one of the clips that I saw of this, she was asked, well, do you think all states should follow and have same-sex marriage? And she started to give a very politically correct answer. And she started out very kind of nice with what was expected. You know, she's glad we live in America where people have their choices. And then all of a sudden, there was a strength that she seemed to have, and a conviction, and her voice got stronger. And she said, but for me, you know, and how I was raised, this is what I feel is important. You know, marriage between a man and a wife, a man and a woman. That's what it's supposed to be. Well, there was a hush that came over the place, and she did not get the title. She was interviewed the next day on Fox, and she was full of joy. And they said, do you wish you would have answered that any different? And she said, no. And she said that as she started to answer, she felt the Lord. She's a Christian. She felt the Lord, you know, come and say to her, take a stand for me. And she had that strength that came from him to speak what she felt was the Lord would have wanted her to say at that point. And on Fox, when she was being interviewed, she said she had joy. She said, I am so blessed to have been used by God in such a way. And what she thought was one race suddenly has turned to another. She's being asked to come and speak to all these young people's groups. And he's taken her on a different journey than she had first anticipated. But she had joy. She felt it was a privilege to be able to stand up for her belief. She had her eyes fixed on what is unseen. She knew she was risking her opportunity to have the earthly crown of Miss America, but she knew that would fade. And so she was obedient to what she felt God was asking of her for an eternal crown, one that will last forever, one that's really of value. And we're faced with those choices all along. Will we go with the immediate gratification, the one that the world will applaud? Or is our life about more? Do we have our eyes fixed on Jesus and we want to do what he has for us to do? Whatever it costs. So 2 Corinthians 4:18, you know, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. That's what's going to end up counting. That's what we want our lives to be about. So daily we make those choices and are determined. We have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Say, this is what my life's going to be about. And nothing will keep me from that. Another temptation is to live for the physical, to the exclusion of the spiritual. I see, Jesus, when he was talking about the man, he told the parable of the man with the barns and all his stuff, and he built bigger and bigger barns so that he could store it all and hoard it all. And then he said, you fool, tonight your life is going to be demanded of you. And then what will be done with all your stuff? You fool. And Jim Elliot, who ended up giving his life in Ecuador, as we know, is a famous quote. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And so for the physical, another temptation that we have in life that detracts us from our goal perhaps sometimes or tempts us to do, is to focus totally on the physical. I know people that just give themselves to their health and their body and being in shape and working out. And yes, it's important that we take care of our bodies. They're the temple of the Lord, and that's a value, but not to the exclusion of the spiritual. We see people pouring all their efforts, all their energies, putting all their time into getting their bodies in better shape. And that will fail. Thankfully, we're going to have new bodies. And that will last forever. So again, we say, what are our temptations to sidetrack us. Where are we pouring our energies? And then the temptation to get weary in the battle and to give up. Perhaps that's our greatest temptation. It's hard. And there are many battles. And so just like in Hebrews 12, consider Jesus who endured such opposition from sinful men so that we don't grow weary and lose heart. I've heard in this last week many different people tell me, I'm weary of it. I don't know if I can go on. But God is faithful. And then I see the Lord. They ask for prayer. We looked at this, some of the things a few weeks ago. How do we persevere? Keep our eyes on Jesus. Ask people to pray for us. Spend that time with the Lord. Cry out to him for help. He is faithful. He will come and strengthen us and enable us. And when we fall, he picks us up. He remembers that we're dust. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad his mercies are new every morning, that he freely forgives over and over and over. When I don't do as well as I would have liked to have, you know, he forgives, picks back up, puts the feet back on the track. He's faithful and gracious and loves us. And we remember we're not on our own, so we cry to him for his help. It's becoming increasingly challenging in our country now to be a Christian. You know, teachers can no longer bring Bibles even to school in their purse in many areas. I understand that there is a list being started of domestic terrorists that we might be on because we attend a Bible study. That people that have pro-life bumper stickers are on a domestic terrorist list. It's getting very concerning. So we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's going to be a challenging race. But he is faithful. And so he says to us, do not be afraid. I am with you. I go before you. I lead you. I feed you. I give you living water. Draw on all of his resources. Draw on his strength. He is within us. It was Jesus who endured without falling. He says, I am within you to strengthen you and help you. Spend that time with him so that he somehow, by his Spirit, in his grace, strengthens us and carries us when we can no longer walk on our own. He's the faithful God, and he brings us safely home. And the joy that's ours when we cross each finish line, these preliminary ones of this journey that he gives us for a season, when we finish well and we sense his pleasure, his well done, there's such joy, and it makes it all worthwhile. So I can just imagine what it will be like when we are in his presence, having crossed that final finish line, the joy of hearing that, well done, good and faithful servant. Like he said to the church in Revelation, I know your strength was little, but you persevered. He delights in that, and that we have that joy. Life is about more than what we see. And then when we cross that final finish line, all that he has prepared for us just begins. This is not the end. I'm reading a book now, Closer Than Your Skin, by Susan Hill. And she said she laid awake one night struggling because of some hard things that had happened. this young man that she knew had been in an accident and now was bedridden for the rest of his life. And then another friend that she received a phone call that day as she had died. And she was struggling before the Lord with why these things happen. And she had a dream that night that she felt was from the Lord. And in it, you know, he kind of came to her and she was taking notes in the dream. And he wanted her to write this down. And it was, she said, "Then in the absolute kindest voice I've ever heard, God spoke. 'It's not about this life,' he says, pausing for a moment. 'Take note of that. It's not about this life. There's more. And we are living in the kingdom now. And he wants us to experience his peace in the midst of the trouble, the strength in the midst of the challenges. He says, 'I give you my peace. I want you to have my joy, that your joy would be full today,' which is in him." So he says, nurture this relationship. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Set our hearts, our wills, our minds on crossing that finish line well. And don't let anything deter us, so that we too, like the NASCAR driver, you know, can run across it. Nothing's going to stop us. There's more than this life. Judy Dunnigan, who was supposed to be here, just sends her love and regrets. She would have loved to have been with us. She loves our group. Her mother is failing, and so she had to leave to go down to Phoenix. And she and her husband drove. And she emailed me yesterday, said that they had just arrived last night in Phoenix. "The change in my precious mom since I was just here in March is stunning. I'm so grateful to be here with her and help my dad some. The beauty of their love story is breathtaking to watch. These are hard days, but it will be worth it all when we see Jesus." Persevere. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Finish well. Set our hearts now determined to finish well, not to let anything distract us. Paul in Philippians 3 says, "I haven't attained all that I, perfection, all that I hope to be, but," he says, "this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind." Yesterday, last week, a new beginning, today, I press on to all that God calls me heavenward to in Christ Jesus. That's what matters. And we don't run alone. He's with us. It surprised me to have some tears. But there's such joy in him. And we know he is worth it. And that's what everyone has said down through the ages. He's worth it. And then we'll begin all that has been in his heart for us. When he first created us, before sin entered the world, before all of this, he had good prepared. So he set in motion that plan and is coming again. And he says he will make all things new. And he says, so don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, "I am coming again to, I prepared a place for you. And I'm coming again to take you so that where I am, you may be also." Joy. Rewards. And you know, as nice as maybe overseeing 10 cities might be, I think the greatest reward will be with him. He is the treasure. To be in his presence, to be close to him, to spend eternity that way, with him, with joy. But there's purpose. He says, then, there, you know, all that he's prepared unfolds, and this is preparation for that. So this is the training ground. This isn't it. So we want to finish well and then move into all the good that he's prepared. That they say, no eye has seen or ear heard what wonderful things God has prepared for those who love him. The Spirit reveals it to us. He gives us little glimpses, and it's good. Lots to look forward to. But his kingdom is now. He is with us, and we get to know him now and begin nurturing that relationship. One day, faith will be sight. Either we will go to be with him or he will return. And every eye will see him. And every tongue confess that he is Lord. And every knee will bow in acknowledging that. So all the opposition, as hard as it is, one day it will all be clear. And he will come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we'll begin all that he has prepared for us since the beginning of time in his love for us. So we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and run with perseverance our races. So what race are you in today? He knows. He cares. He weeps with us when we weep. Holds us now, strengthens us, you, he knows what you're going through. He says, I am with you, I've gone before you, I will lead you and I will take care of you. Do not be afraid, I am with you. So he knows the race that you are currently in or races. So he wants us to come to him with that. And ask for his help. He hears. And he responds. He promises. And in the end, we will have such joy in finishing that race and being in his presence. And he will take great delight to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the faithful God, that we don't run on our own. And Scripture says that in Revelation that they saw the people come and lay their crowns at your feet. And it's because you deserved it. It is by your strength, your grace, that we make it, that we run and persevere. Thank you that this life is about more than what we see. Thank you that even today you are at work furthering your kingdom right here, and we are a part of it. Thank you for the privilege of being called to participate with you in that. Help us not to get sidetracked. Thank you that when we do, or we fall, you meet us in your love and your grace, and you pick us up and dust us back up off and carry us. Lord, thank you that it is through you that we have the victory. It is through you that we run well, and you deserve the glory. So, Lord, help us keep our eyes fixed on you. Lead us in the things that you have for us today and give us courage and strength to press on. Thank you that you give us of yourself. And one day when we cross that finish line, we will be in your presence and we know it will all be worth it. Lord, we love you. Lord, we ask that you come to each woman here now today in the race or races that she is persevering in. Minister to her at the places of her needs as you know them so well and you care. Strengthen each of us for the journey. And Lord, thank you that you say that even now today, you desire to give us the peace that passes understanding and a joy that overflows knowing you and walking with you. Thank you that you say you protect us and you call us forward in you to a goal, a life of eternal purpose today. So Lord, we thank you for who you are. And we commit our journeys to you and ask for your presence with us in it and your spirit to flow through us to accomplish all your purposes, that our lives would have eternal value and you would be glorified. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.